This is an intro into the covenant that God has made. So this is a little bit introing into what we're going to go into next week. But who is Jesus to you? Is he just the get out of jail card? Is he just that? And I know that he is that to a lot of people. You know what? If I just accept Jesus as my Savior, I'll get out of jail and I don't have to worry about going to hell. Or is he Lord of your life? Is Jesus Lord of your life? And when we walk through life and we don't give Jesus everything that we carry, is he really Lord of your life? When we don't lay those things down that we deal with each and every day of thoughts and things like that, is he really Lord of your life? You know, and Kaneo has been a really good study for us, and we started this in January 15th, and it's really opened my eyes to a lot of things that I've never really been preached about. And I've been turned my life over for 20 years, and nobody ever preaches about the blood of Jesus. No one ever preaches about the blood of Jesus. I never hear it. And so there is so much to the blood. We hear the blood of Jesus. We hear, you know, we're saved, the blood of Jesus ran down. But we never really get into what the blood of Jesus does. And so the Bible tells us in Revelations 12, 10 through 11, it says, "Then I heard a loud voice in heaven, 'Now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. To the accuser of the brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down.'" And in verse 11 it says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb." What is the blood of the Lamb? The blood of Jesus, right? "And by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death." So who's the accuser of the brethren? Satan himself, right? He's standing accusing you of everything that you do wrong. I mean, he's constantly wanting to accuse you of everything that you do wrong. You can be walking your life out in the best way that you can, and you make one mistake. And he's like, he's going to God, and he's saying, "Hey, look at Lance. He just did this little one thing." I'll tell him myself. I told him my Kaneo class. This has happened a couple weeks ago. And I'm an open book, so. We have a meeting in our every day at work. We have a manufacturing meeting, scheduling meeting, and stuff like that. And was it the day before? We all answer questions and stuff like that. And the day before, our plant manager said, "Hey, I want you to take care of this issue." It's on some paperwork, and take care of some downtime. And so, I thought I did it, but I didn't. So the next day, he says, "Hey, did you take care of that downtime?" I said, "Yeah." And I said, "Didn't I tell you, Virgil?" And I was like, "No." And I just felt like, oh, God, I just lied to the guy. The accuser of the brethren the Holy Spirit really started to get on top of me. He said, "Hold, you didn't do what you were supposed to do." And so then I had to acknowledge that in front of everyone. But see, the accuser of the brethren wants to say, See, you ain't perfect. You can't stand up. But here's what Jesus does. In place of that, he's our mediator. And he says, "Hold on a minute. I have a covenant with that man. I have a covenant with him. And my blood still covers him." And so there's a lot to that, and there's a lot going on. But there's an accuser of their brethren that's always accusing you of wrong. He's always trying to find the things that you're doing wrong. And he wants to take it before God and said, see, look at this, look at this. Constantly wanting to accuse you. See, Jesus triumphed over the power of darkness as reinforced whenever we agree. I don't know why I wrote this, so let me see why I wrote this. Jesus triumphed over the powers of darkness is reinforced whenever we agree with and declare the benefits of his precious blood. When I declare the blood of Jesus and I acknowledge there's so much to the blood. There is so much too that I don't even understand it fully yet, but I'm praying that the Lord starts to reveal things even more and more, that the benefits, and we're going to talk about six benefits, I think is what it is, of the blood of Jesus today. But there is so much more that we don't even understand. There's so much more we don't even understand. So today I want to look at some of the benefits of the blood of Jesus. But first we need to see why Jesus' blood had to be shed. Do we know why his blood had to be shed? Cleanses. From what? Unrighteousness. Sin. Right? So sin entered through what? How does sin enter the world? Through disobedience. The Bible tells us that there were two trees in the garden. God told Adam, not Eve, God told Adam not to eat of the tree what? Of knowledge of good and evil, right? He told Adam not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We know the story that Eve was lied to, she was deceived. But more and more you think about it, I don't know how long they were in the garden before the deceiver came in and deceived Eve. 50 years? So 50 years in the garden, not eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What do you think was going through their mind for 50 years? They could eat of everything in the garden, every tree except this one. Do you think over time, how would you react? Because they were just like us, except they had the Spirit of God. God come and dwelt with them every cool of every evening and talked with them. But how do you think, what do you think they thought about that tree? Man, the fruit looks good. Man, there doesn't look like there's anything wrong with that tree. They've walked around that tree. They've probably rubbed up against that tree. It was in the midst of the garden. It was in the middle of the garden. Desires, see, people's desires will change their outcome. And all it took was an accuser or all it took was a deception to allow them to say, you know what? It wasn't Eve's problem. It was Adam's problem because he didn't stop her. Because God told Adam not to eat, and you know Adam told his wife that hey, you're not supposed to eat. You're not supposed to do this. We're not supposed to partake of any of this tree, or else we will die. But there had to be a desire in their heart somewhere. Adam knew God told him not to eat. So let's just look at this in Genesis 3, 4 through 7. It says, then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eye, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her. So he was standing right with her. And he ate. He was going to see if she died first. Right? You know, his desire was the same as hers. He had to hear the serpent say the same thing. But I'm going to let her do it because God told me not to eat. I'm going to let her see if she dies. They didn't even know what death was. They had no clue what death was because death was not even in the picture at this time. So what does die mean? I don't know, but he's going to let his wife find out first. It says, and he ate. Then it says, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. They made themselves coverings. Before they ate of the forbidden tree, they knew no nakedness. They knew no nakedness before they ate of the tree. But as soon as they ate of the forbidden tree, the Bible says that their eyes were opened, they spiritually died, and the glory of God that covered them was not on them anymore. And now their eyes were opened because the glory of God that covered them was gone. You know what that means? It means that they were separated at that moment from God. They were separated from him. That's what hell is. being separated from God, being separated from the presence of God. See, and we've talked about this before, and we know that the omnipresence of God is all over the earth. It covers the earth. There is no difference in the omnipresence of God. It is everywhere. The omnipresence of God is even in the satanic temple. The omnipresence of God is there because it's everywhere. But the manifested presence of God is not everywhere. It's only in certain places where he chooses to manifest his presence that way. So the glory of God that covered them was gone. So why did God put two trees in the garden? Choices. Because if he did not allow them to choose him or choose the obedience, so we have choices each and every day also. We can choose to accept Christ. We can choose to live our life for him. We can choose to give everything to him, or we can choose to do it on our own. We can choose to live our life how we want to. We can choose to walk out and get on our phones on things we should not get onto. We can get out and talk to people the way we probably shouldn't do that. And we can choose how we live our life. We can choose to have God Lord of our life, or we can choose him not to be Lord of our life. We can choose to take off chains and leave some chains on. We can choose to live our life however we want to. This is the true nature that God gave you. He gave you a choice to choose. You choose. That's why there was two trees in the garden, for them to make a choice. Because if he made them love him, then there was no choice. And then the accuser of the brethren said, "See, if all I have to do is tempt them, and they will fall." But God gave us a choice, us to love him, not just him loving us. We have to choose to love him. We have to choose to serve him. We have to choose to follow him. In James 1:13-14, it says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God.'" See, God didn't tempt him by putting the tree in the garden. It was a choice. And so, like Sonny said, it was 50 years. Before they ate of the tree, there's a lot of years. Think of 50 years. I'm 53. So I think of all the years I had a choice to make. They had a choice to see that tree. And the desires overwhelmed them. And all it took was somebody to give a deception, and all of a sudden they would eat. So it wasn't a deception of God, but it was a deception of the enemy. It says, "I am tempted by, let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed." They were drawn away. In Genesis 3:21, it says, "Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord made tunics of skin and clothed them." So when they made the fig leaves, they made it out of their own hands. It was not good enough to cover them. Was not good enough to cover them because they did it of themselves. So many times we try to hide our sin, and there's no way we can hide our sin from God. But we try to hide our sin from our spouses, our kids, our family. We try to hide our sins in ways that we deceive them on our what we look like. Because when we shut the door of our home and we do what we do in our home, or we act the way we act, no one knows what's going on. It's a deception. It's like covering yourself with the fig leaves, because you're covering yourself with the things that you can do. But God, he said, that's not good enough. So it doesn't say that he killed an animal, but he said he took the skins. Now, the way to get a skin, blood had to be shed. There had to be bloodshed of an animal somewhere. Death was not entered the world until this moment. And God took the skin of the animal and made tunics for them and covered them. The first instance of blood being shed covered what? Covered disobedience and sin. Covered disobedience. Iniquities. The first time sin entered, blood had to be shed. The Bible tells us that they were kicked out of the garden, or you should say they were separated from the presence of God. It's basically what happened. See, that is the old covenant. There's an old covenant that we'll talk about probably next week, where God made a covenant with Abraham, and there was so much other stuff going on, and he made a covenant on when the Israelites came out of Egypt. They took the lamb, They slayed the lamb. They took the blood and put it over the doorpost. And it all leads up to Jesus. So Jesus is our mediator of the new covenant. There's a new covenant. When he died on the cross, his blood was shed. There is a new covenant. And the blood that was sprinkled, that speaks better than of Abel. So if you look at Hebrews 12, 24, it says, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better than that of Abel. Look at Genesis 4, 1 through 5. It says, now Adam knew Eve and his wife. Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain. And Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering, and Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. And the Lord asked him why his countenance fell and all this stuff. But I'm getting to a point that blood was shed and blood speaks out, okay? So we have two brothers from Adam and Eve. They're growing up together. They're being taught why they have to kill an animal to cover themselves. They're being taught. They've taught this to their children, why they sacrificed animals. So when Abel brings the sacrifice of the lamb, it is a blood offering. But when Cain brings the sacrifice of the work of his hands, the fruit offering, it's not worthy enough. Because what he done with his hands is not worthy, but the blood only covers. So there is a way to sacrifice, and they knew it. Cain chose to do it his way. Abel chose to do it God's way. And it goes on to say in verse 6 through 10, it says, so the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule it over it. Now Cain talked with Abel his brother, and came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel your brother? And he said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what have you done? And then the voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. The blood speaks loud to Jesus and to God. The blood speaks out from the ground. There is something about the blood. The Bible tells us there is life in the blood, right? If all the blood is out of you, you have no life. There is life in the blood. So when an animal is slain, you take its life. There is life in the blood. Sacrifice, something had to die for the covering of sin. And so then all through the years of them performing these rituals on Passover, because Passover just happened on the 22nd of April, year after year after year after year after year after year after thousands of years, they're sacrificing a lamb for the remission of sin, sprinkling it in the Holy of Holies year after year. But that blood was not good enough. But it was a representation of what was coming. It was a representation of what was coming. Adam would have surely taught his sons and sons about why they got kicked out of the garden. Do you think he would have? I just really think he would have taught his sons, man, this is what we did. We ate of this tree of knowledge of good and evil, and God told us not to do it, and we made these fig leaves, and God said that wasn't good enough, and we didn't even know we were naked until we ate of this thing, and then God took this skin from these animals, and he clothed us. And he said that Eve would have, when she gave birth, that she would be cursed. Not really cursed. She would be in pain when she gave birth. And I would toil the ground, and briars would come up, and I would have to work the ground to feed myself. And so you know he had to teach his two children this. See, the only acceptable offering was the blood offering. The only acceptable offering was the blood. So Cain's offering that he produced with his own hands was not good enough. See, we cannot choose the offering or the sacrifice. We don't get to choose. They didn't get to choose. It was already established before the foundations of the earth that Jesus would die on a cross. Before you and I were even thought of, it was already established that Jesus would come in human form and die on a cross at a certain time. Already established. God had to get it that way, get it to that point where Jesus could come into the scene and lay down his life. See, blood had to be shed for the atonement of sin. The Bible tells us all through Scripture that we need atonement for our sins. We got to have atonement for our sins. It tells us all through the Old Testament. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." This is the Romans road. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So the wages of sin is death. And we've all sinned. Each one of us have sinned. And our wage should be death to us. Then it goes on in Romans 8:5-8, it says, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." It's a mark, remarkable, that a precious Son of God had to die for our sins. And it goes on in Romans 10:9-13, says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Pretty simple, isn't it? "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth one mouth confession is made about salvation. For the Scriptures say, for whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, or the same Lord. Over all is rich to all who call upon him." It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what nation you're from. It doesn't matter what area of the world you're from. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what the Bible says, and that is the truth. Romans 10:9-13. That's the simplicity of the gospel. Knowing that when you come out of the womb, you're in sin. You came out in sin. That's why there talks about an age of accountability, that until you understand right from wrong, you're not accountable. So our little children back there are not accountable until now they are taught. That's why you start to see children get baptized. That's why you start to see children say, "Man, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior," because they are being taught. And the Holy Spirit is wooing them to have him live within them. That is the simplicity of the gospel. That whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We see it on the cross. We see the two thieves next to Jesus. One on the right and one on the left. One condemns him and the other one says, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said, "Today you will be with me." Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's that simple. But now let's look behind the scenes. What makes it that simple? It's the blood of the Lamb. It's the precious blood of Jesus. The blood from the spotless Lamb that was crucified. And his blood shed for us makes it that simple. But there's so much more to the blood of Jesus. There's so much more that we don't understand. There's so much more than just calling on the name of the Lord. You shall be saved, but why are you saved? How are you saved? How did it get to that point? That now all the sins that you've ever committed in your life, when you accept him and you call on the name of the Lord, everything from that moment is remembered no more. not again to be brought up again. The problem is we still look back to our past sins. And we still look back to those things that say, man. And what you're really doing, you're trespassing on the covenant of God. It says, from the moment you accept Christ as your Savior, all those things that you laid down 2 weeks ago, we talked about chains. And he can only take what you give him. If you lay everything down, all those sins, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you give it all to him, it is remembered no more. Until you pick it up again. And what really happens is the covenant is never lost. God's covenant made with you is never returned. It's permanent. It's permanent. The only thing that you can do when you pick up those past sins or you pick up sins after that moment, the only thing you do is separate yourself from God because you lose fellowship with him. Because the covenant of God is unchangeable. The blood covenant of God is unchangeable. It does not change. It still does what it does and will always do what it does. There is no enemy that can stand against the blood of God. There is no demonic spirit that can stand against the blood of God. They cannot cross the bloodline. They cannot come across it. He can accuse you of things, but he cannot do anything about it because Jesus is mediating for you. Hey, my blood was shed. It's the perfect spotless. There was no sin in me and my blood was shed. Now that's the covering of their sins, that I will remember them no more. And he stands before God and he mediates you. He's my son. He's my daughter. They are under the blood of God. They are under my blood. They are under the blood that I shed on Calvary. Too many times we want to pick up those sins of our past and trespass on the atoning blood of Jesus. In Christ's blood, we receive life that death cannot conquer. Jesus has established a new covenant through his blood, and he intercedes on our behalf to enable us to enter more fully into the blood covenant with us. If you don't know about the covenant, man, you need to start studying it. This is so powerful. It is powerful, powerful, powerful of why we can say all we have to do is confess Jesus as Lord. He is our and he saves us and he enters into our heart. And all we have to do, but there are so many things behind it that God demonstrates through his blood. Thank you, Father. Romans 8:34 says, who is he who condemns? Is it Christ who died? And furthermore, is also risen? Who is even at the right hand of God and makes intercession for us? Jesus makes intercession for us. Intercession is that Jesus mediates the covenant. He is up there saying, hold on. And we're kind of talking about it. I'm going over it again. But he says, hold on. You accuser, accusing Jeff of this. Hold on a minute. Jeff is underneath my blood covenant. He's underneath my bloodshed. That stuff that happened before, you can't accuse him of that. You can't accuse him now because he's underneath my covenant. My blood is shed. God, my blood was shed for him. My blood was shed for her. And he has no accusation because you're under the blood. He has no accusation because you're under the blood. So here's a little thing. Here's some benefits of the blood. This is not all of them, and it's not exhausted because there are so many more benefits that we're going to talk about later. But here's just a few benefits of the blood of Jesus. Forgiveness. Listen to this in Hebrews 9:20-22. It says, saying this is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you. Then likewise he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and the vessels of the ministry. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. It is the covering. Why you can say, Lord God, forgive me my sins. And the Bible doesn't even tell you I have to say that. It's something that we put together. It's called repentance. Repentance is turning away from the things that you were doing. Changing your mindset. It says, call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. Look at him as Lord. Lord, forgive me of the things I've done. Without the bloodshed, there is no remission. The second thing is cleansing. The blood will cleanse you. In Hebrews 9, 13 to 14, it says, for if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serving the living God? Through the blood you are cleansed. You are cleansed through the blood of Jesus. Third thing, redemption. Ephesians 1 through 7, it says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to his riches of his grace. We have redemption through his blood. Just unpack that for a while. And there is so much to that. I don't have time to get into all these. But look at this. Justification. It is one thing to believe that you are forgiven, cleansed, and redeemed, but is it another to believe that it is just as if you have never sinned in the first place? That's where we need to be. When we accept the covenant with God, when we accept him, we gotta act like that sin has never been, because he remembers it no more. The Bible tells us that as far as the east is from the west, as far as the bottom of the sea unto unforgetfulness, he remembers it no more. Can you imagine all the things that we've done? I mean, all the things that we've done. And I'm not going to go back and trespass, because that is my testimony, but that is not the place that I want to be. I want to live from this day on. I want to move forward from that time on. You know what God has done? Last night, I got to minister to a guy. He came over at 9 o'clock. I went to Texas last week. We got there Saturday morning, and I got out of my truck, and I dropped my phone. Broke my phone. So I didn't know they come to your house and do all this stuff. Anyway, Zach Boda's son said, oh, they'll come here. And long story short, they wouldn't. They was going to send the phone out. And so I got home, and I made an appointment yesterday. And this guy shows up at my house at 9 o'clock last night. Sergio is his name. I don't know his last name. He lives up by my sister, just a few streets over from my sister up there. And we get talking, and he's fixing my phone, and he's trading out my phone. And we get talking, and I just happen to say, do you go to church anywhere? And he says, yeah, I do, by a matter of fact. He said, I'm Catholic. He's Catholic, and he goes to a certain church. And I said, oh, okay, that's awesome. And I said, yeah, we're a non-denominational. And we start talking about it, because it was really nothing. It's all about Jesus, okay? Just think about it. It's all about Jesus. And so we're talking about Jesus, and we're talking about some things. I said, I looked over on my shelf, and this book, Unless We Pray, was there, sitting there. And I said, you know what? I got a book for you. And I grabbed this book. I said, hey, would you like, this is an awesome book. And you ought to just read this. And I said, this will bring you closer to the Lord. He said, he just almost began to cry. That he came to serve me, and I began to serve him in the communication of Jesus. He said, man, would you write, nobody ever does this stuff. Would you write your name in this book? I said, I didn't write that book. He said, no. I want your name on here and the date, so I know that when I was given this book. And so I gave him that book, and I said, you know, there's another book you probably need to read, and it's The God's Glory by Todd Smith. And man, it's a really great book. I couldn't find the book. I didn't know where it was at, so I took a picture of it. And we began to talk it. And then I began to share my testimony of how God has been touching me and touching the lives of people and how see visions. And I told him about this song by Nikos Palatis, The Almighty God, and he's like, oh man, how do you see visions? And we got started talking about the spiritual realm, and his eyes are like, man, I want that. And he didn't understand, because he's Catholic, he don't understand some of these things. And I said, you know, this is the same vision that I had, that Nicholas had. And Nicholas got the words to the song of the angels speaking out and honoring God, the Almighty God, and so we're talking, and it's just amazing that God entered the room, and you can see it in his face, like he is missing something, but God is there. This is the kind of stuff we talk about. This is the stuff we encourage. He said, I know the power of God is in this room. He said, I know, you know, he's Catholic. just an amazing exchange of words with each other and how God moves. This is how our life should be. That's why after the worship service, it's like, you know what? We got to have some joy in our life. We got to, because you know what? When I walked out of that room that last night and he left and I felt like, God, you are so awesome that you can set two people up 100 miles away and you set two people up for a time that it was his last call of the night, that he could stay there and we could talk and communicate. He wasn't ready to go, but he had to leave. And God can set those things up. I should be, you know, I felt excited for what God does. You should feel excited when God does stuff in your life. You should feel excited because you know why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ was shed to set me free, set all the captives free, because now the blood is shed that all the sins that I did before are remembered no more except by the people that remember them. Not by God. He doesn't remember them, and not by me. I remember where I came from, but I am never going back to that place. Justification. God is good. 1 Corinthians 5:21. We're still on justification. For he made him no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. It's just as we've never sinned before. We are justified by his blood. The next thing is sanctification. Sanctified. Hebrews 10:10 says, By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the blood, body of Jesus Christ once and for all, never to happen again. And the last one is peace. And there's so many more, and I'm not going to get into all of them. But Colossians 1, 19 to 20 says, For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself. By him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, have made peace through the blood of Christ. Of his cross. So listen to this as we start to wind things down here. The blood of Jesus does so much more. The blood of Jesus is so much more than just, we don't even comprehend it. So many benefits as we go to the table. You have an opportunity to go to the table every week and partake of his body and his blood. That table is a miraculous thing. So many benefits to the table of God. So many. The night Jesus was betrayed, he sat around his closest friends. They're going to take the Passover meal, and he picks up the bread and he says, this is my body broken, getting ready to happen. In the reality of life, in the reality of the world, it was getting ready to happen. My body's going to be broken. You're not going to recognize me. It's going to be shed, broken just like that is over there. It's going to be broken in pieces. And you will not be able to recognize me. And my blood is going to be shed out as he takes the third cup. My blood is going to be shed. Every last drop is going to come out of me. It's for the remission of sins. There's so much about the blood that we don't understand, but we need to understand why we can say, Lord, whoever calls in the name of the Lord shall be saved. See, we have no covering without the blood of Jesus. Our sins, there is no covering for our sins without the blood of Jesus. So as we close, when we accept Jesus as Lord of our lives, then the covenant, would say the new covenant, that was made through Jesus is established and we are in covenant with him. Karen Smith is our teacher in our Kaneo class, and she says it this way. Instead of saying, I am saved, we should say we have a covenant with Jesus. We're going to teach on covenant next week, but there is so much to covenant that it will amaze you of what really is transpiring in this. The blood speaks better. It speaks a better word. Jesus' blood speaks a better word. And so this morning, who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus? Is he just a get out of a jail card? Is he just a get out of hell card? Or is he actually Lord of your life? I'm going to leave you with this. 1 Peter 1:17 to 21 says, "And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear." Not in fear that you're scared to death, but in fear that you will be in separation from God. Knowing that you will not, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundations of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. And so we leave you with this today. If you're not a believer in Christ, you're not a believer in the shed blood, and today you want to change your life, today's the day. Because here's the thing. Here's the thing. You're not in covenant with God. If you do not accept him, you are not in covenant with him, and his blood cannot cover you. His omnipresence is all over the earth, all over the world. But his blood can't cover you. It only covers the people that come in covenant with him. And that's making an agreement. That's making not a contract, because contracts are totally different. And we'll talk about that next week. So the opportunity today is, if you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you want to turn your life, or you want to recommit your life, today is today. And if not, and you're a follower of Jesus Christ, know that the blood covers you. The blood is everything. From the moment that God slayed the animal to cover Adam and Eve, there was something coming. Something already preordained. Before the foundation of the earth was formed, Jesus was coming on the scene. He already said, I will go and I will shed my blood. He was going to come in human form. So, Father, I just come before you today, and I just thank you for your word. I thank you for the blood of Jesus today, Father. I thank you that you remember our sins no more. That it is as far as the east is from the west. That everything that I've done in my past, when I've accepted you, Christ, you said you'd never remember that it called up against me again. That I can stand before God, and those sins are never brought up in the court of law.